Well, let's give the Lord another great hand clap of praise. God, you're so good. Come on, has it been better to you than you deserve? Oh, you're faithful, God. We love you, Jesus. Come on, anybody just love him this morning? Anybody love the Lord today? You're so faithful, God. You're so good. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's certainly good to be back in Hot Springs this morning on this beautiful Sunday that God has given to us. Thank the Lord for his good blessings. So thankful for the presence of God that's been here today. Amen. Anybody grateful for the touch of the Lord that's already on this house? Come on, it's easy to touch God today. It's easy to get what you need from the Lord today. Praise God. We give honor today to your good pastor, First Lady, their family today. We love them very, very much. Count them very dear friends. And it's always a privilege to stand in this pulpit and to be able to minister in this congregation. And this is a church that is easy on a preacher. Amen. Y'all make it easy to preach, and that's a reflection of you, but it's also a reflection of your leadership. And I've been places where it felt like you was pulling uphill the whole time, but it's not a struggle in Hot Springs, and I appreciate so very much this church, the way you pray and touch God. You're in a blessed place today. Come on, you don't let the enemy ever try to dissuade you about your church. As an outsider, let me tell you, you're in the great, great place to live for God and serve him. Dig in, both feet, both hands. Get behind what's going on around here. Woo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. This is such a wonderful, wonderful church with wonderful leadership. Are a blessed bunch of people today. So thankful to have my wife with me today. I love not my wife. Amen. My word. Y'all done messed with me. Praise God. But I am thankful to have my wife. I think she might have had to step out to take care of Nola. Amen. But I'm glad to have her here today. Praise God. I'm going to be nice right now. Praise God. It's good to be able to laugh, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Well, I've been doing this for a little while, and I don't think I've got it figured out. Matter of fact, it seems like the more I do it, the less I understand about the way God operates and works. And I want to just try to follow what I feel today, and I don't want to be a sermonizer. That's never my desire. But I do want to mind the Lord. I do want to mind the Lord today, and I want to try to give to you what I feel on my heart this morning. If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. What a great installation service this past Friday night. Amen. What a time was had in the Holy Ghost, and what a great word from the Lord was preached in that service. Amen. 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 Praise God. Such a good time in the Holy Ghost. Thankful for what the Lord is doing in this church, through this church. Praise God. Isaiah chapter number 40. Bible said, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Everyone say the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Today, by the help of the Lord, for just a few moments, I'd like to preach to us about wonders in the wilderness. Wonders in the wilderness. Could you pray with me together? Let's pray as an apostolic church this morning. Let's lift up our voices. Matter of fact, why don't you connect with someone right now? Let's pray together in the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you. Thank you for your touch, God. Lord, we want you to have your way today. Thank you for what you've already done, Lord. Thank you for the word that's already been going forth, your presence that's already here. God, seal the word of the Lord in our hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name, let's give God praise with triumph in our spirit for what he's going to do. Hallelujah. You may be seated today. Everybody say the wilderness. Word is found in your Bible 293 times. I'd say that if it's in the Bible that many times, you probably ought to pay attention to it. Man's definition of a wilderness is quite negative. It's considered an inhospitable wasteland, no man's land, a neglected area. It's uncultivated. It's abandoned. We mostly identify it as a place of troubles and setbacks and difficulties. This past year, I was privileged, I guess I could say privileged, to travel out into what is known as the high desert of California. I know there's a few California transplants in here. Anybody ever been up in the high desert before? You know, it's pretty in its own way, but it ain't pretty when it's 108 degrees and you're in a, not a Uber, but it's what they call them rental cars. It's, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's not an enterprise car, but it's the what is it? No, it's a rental car. Anyway, you're in a rental car and you're going out across there and you've got one of your children with you and you're thinking in your mind, I really hope this thing don't break down while we're going out across here. You don't verbalize that, but you're thinking that. And it's not just any rental car. The pastor I was preaching for put me in it, and it was one of them little convertibles. And it was a Mini Cooper. Can you imagine big old ball-headed me in a Mini Cooper? And I got my big old long-legged Dakota with me. And we trekking out across the high desert, and I saw a sign for a place called Mojave, and then it finally dawned on me. We're on the edge of the Mojave Desert. And it was an interesting drive, but it was really and truly, I believe it was the first time that I had ever been in a literal desert before. And it was somewhat unnerving when you looked around and you saw the old ragged weeds and growth that was miraculously growing up out of the sand, but you look beneath all of that and you literally saw the sand just like that of a desert. And it definitely was everything that you imagine in an inhospitable environment, that wilderness experience. And no doubt here today, some of us may not have ever been privileged to go through a place like that naturally, but no doubt if you've lived any amount of time, you have been through places like that in your life where it was inhospitable, it was challenged, it was difficult, and you felt nearly abandoned. There was a man of God in Scripture by the name of Elijah that had a moment like that. In life, you can experience the highest of highs, and then you can turn right around and experience the lowest of lows. Elijah had just had one of the greatest victories that he had ever experienced at Mount Carmel, where he defeated 400 prophets of Baal, and the fire of God had fallen, and great things were happening. But at the word of a woman by the name of Jezebel, simply saying, "I'm going to do to you what you did to my prophets, my false prophets. You slew them." She said, I'm going to do the same thing to you tomorrow if I can just get my hands on you. And that man of God that had that great victory now took tail and ran across the desert and hid away and just tried to find a place of survival. And the Bible said he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came, and he sat down underneath a juniper tree. And then that same man that had great victory in his life now became suicidal. And he said, "Just go ahead and take my life, God. Just take me out." He requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. I've been to a few places sometimes where I just said, it's enough. Yeah, I've been to a few things sometimes where I just felt like it's enough. Well, it's enough." I feel like I'm preaching to some people today that maybe you're right now sitting in the middle of sitting down underneath the juniper tree and saying, "It's enough. I'm not any better than anybody else. I'm going down. I feel like I'm abandoned. Oh, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." Sometimes we feel like Elijah, and other times we feel like David. David said, "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. David understood what it was to feel forsaken. He said, "I would just wander far off and remain in the wilderness." But I want to tell you today that as surely as the wilderness is times of testing and trial, as surely as that is in our life today, I want you to know this morning that the wilderness is not the place for you to just go sit down and start thinking about dying. It's not the place for you to go and start contemplating your demise and your downfall. It's not where you're supposed to go and feel as though God has forsaken you. I don't want to get ahead of myself here today, but there's many testings and trials that happen while we're in the wilderness. Bible talks about Moses keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he had the flock on the backside of the desert. He wasn't just in the wilderness. He went to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And it was there that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld that the bush burned, but it was not consumed. Don't ever underestimate what can happen in a wilderness. Don't ever underestimate the fact that God is with you. He didn't see that angel when he went to the backside, but it was while he was there that it was revealed. You're not by yourself. You're not on your own. You're about to have an experience with God that's going to transform you and change you into what God has called you to be. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. Thank God today. I want to talk about wonders in the wilderness today. We understand that Moses did not really know God until he went to that wilderness. Moses did not really understand who God was until he went to that wilderness. His life is broken into 40-year periods. He spent 40 years in Egypt as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, even though he refused to be called such, because he understood from his mother that you're not Egyptian, you are Hebrew. But he really didn't understand the full scope of what that even meant. Then he spent 40 years in preparation in the wilderness on the backside of that desert. And while he was there, God revealed himself to him and let him know what your mission in life is supposed to be. But that was not all that God was doing in that wilderness. The time that he spent chasing down those sheep, the time that he spent finding resources here and yonder on the backside of that wilderness, it was during that time that God was familiarizing that man with where he was about to take God's people. I want to tell you, you can't lead anybody somewhere you have not been. You can't help anybody in areas you've not been to. Sometimes you got to get that call to the lonely place so that God can help you to help somebody else. Come on, let's give God praise right now. Somebody needs to understand that the wilderness you're in is not meant to kill you. This experience with God there would change Moses' life forever. It was the wilderness. It was the wilderness. Everybody say the wilderness. That Moses had this great experience with God. God, couldn't you have done it over there in the ivory towers of Egypt? God, couldn't you have revealed yourself in better circumstances? God, couldn't you have showed me what you could do when money was better and times were different? Couldn't you show me what you're capable of over there where the streets were paved and things were good and there was plenty to have and to eat? Why did we have to go to the wilderness? Why did we have to go to this difficult place? But God has to set us apart. God has to separate us and help us to grow and develop, and it only happens in the wilderness. Wilderness is a place that's lonely. It's apart from people and things. Oh God, you can be in a wilderness and be surrounded by people, but feel by yourself. Ilamashataya. You can be in a room full of folks and feel by yourself when you're in the thick of it. When you're lost in the weeds of the wilderness. You're chasing things down, just trying to get by, just trying to make ends meet. And it don't look like things are getting any better, but getting a little worse. It's in that wilderness that God will reveal himself in a mighty way to you. Ooh. apart from people, apart from things, apart from the noise and the clamor of the world. That's where God can talk to you. That's where God can speak to you. That's where God can say, come over here and let me make myself known to you. Come over here and let me show you my great glory and my power. Let me show you what I can do, Moses. I know you say you can't speak, but I made your mouth. I made you what you are. And not only did I create your physical body, Moses, but it's in the wilderness that I'm going to shape you and mold you into what I need you to be. There's nothing greater to connect you with God than the trial of a wilderness. The children of Israel would be led by Moses up out of Egypt. And the final 40-year segment of Moses' life would be spent with these griping, grumbling, fussing, feuding people whom he would begin to call stiff-necked and rebellious people. People that would upset him so bad that he would take the statue that they were worshiping in that wilderness. He would crush it down into powder and put it in their water and say, now drink it. He would get so upset with them. I'm talking about the man Moses that God said, turn aside and talk with me and I'll talk with you. He's in that wilderness with these people now. And they have become so apt, not at following, but at complaining. And Moses leads them into the wilderness. How many go through trials and tests from God, never knowing what God really wanted to show them in that wilderness, what God wanted to teach them in that wilderness, how God even wanted to bless them in that wilderness? I'm talking today about wonders in the wilderness. W-O-N-D-R. Amen. Wonder today. What God wonders to give to you today. The blessings and the revelations that God wants to pour out upon you today. Oh, but it's in the wilderness. Why couldn't it have been in a better location? Why couldn't it have been in a better spot? Because God sets it up to show you what he's able to do so you can't get the glory and you can't get the credit. How God wants to bless you is oftentimes revealed in the wilderness. These children of Israel never fully understood the blessing of the wilderness. They had learned how to curse their circumstance. They had learned to gripe and to grumble. Every day it seemed like they would murmur and complain. We don't have this. We don't have that. We want this and we want this and we want this. And they forgot about the Red Sea crossing. They forgot about the fact that they hadn't had to buy a new pair of shoes lately. They forgot about the fact that the threads they had on were not dry rotting in the heat and the sun. Their clothes looked just as good as the day that they left out of Egypt. They forgot about the tambourine. They forgot about Miriam dancing on the shoreline of the Red Sea. They forgot about all of that. They forgot about the bitter water being turned good. They forgot about the manna. I'm talking today about wonders in the wilderness. You got to pay attention to what God's going to do for you in wilderness seasons. They forgot about the water from the rock. They forgot about Mount Sinai. Israel, the wilderness. The wilderness is more than a place of punishment like you've envisioned it to be, like you've allowed it to become. But the wilderness is a schoolhouse that God is training you, and God is showing you that you can depend on me all the time. Not just part of the time, but all of the time. I'm preaching to somebody here today that you need to trust God not part-time. You need to trust God all the time. You need to get full-time trust in the Lord. But I'm in the wilderness. I'm going through a hard time. Brother, God's going to show you what he can do for you in the wilderness. It was at Sinai that they would have to get a revelation, just like Moses had to get one. They had to get a revelation of who God was. God told Moses, he said, I wanted all my people to be prophets. I wanted all my people to have a relationship with me. But they developed a mindset that said, Moses, you just go up and deal with God and you just come back and tell us what he said. We're scared of God. Hey, in the wilderness, God's going to do some things. Sometimes it'll put the fear of God in you. But you don't need to be scared of what God's doing in your life. You don't need to be afraid of how God's working in your life. I know it's simple today, but you don't need to be afraid of what God's allowing right now and what God's doing right now. He's working on your behalf. Was there at the mountain that the law would be given. The tabernacle would be erected. Battles would be won. God, did you have to take us this way? I mean, Lord, come on. Couldn't we have went an easier route? Why in the world do we have to go this way, Lord? To get to the promised land? I mean, do we really have to go out there in the wilderness to get to where you're trying to take us? Do we really have to go through these trials? Do we really have to have these hardships? Do we really have to face these things? Do we really have to deal with some of this stuff? I realize today some of it was self-inflicted. Some of it was brought on themselves because of their stubbornness and because they failed to understand what God was trying to do. But I want to tell you, dear hearts, today that God still would have took them through the wilderness even if they had crossed every T and dotted every I. God would have took them through that wilderness. They would not have bypassed it, friend. They would not have got to go around it. God made sure you're going to have to go through the wilderness. But it's in the wilderness that God wants you to develop your spiritual eyesight. It's in that wilderness where God wants you to get your focus not on the trouble, not on the problems, but on Him and how He's going to bring you through. Yeah, they'll organize their tribes. They'll learn how to fight. They'll learn how to worship God the right way. They'll learn how to depend on God. They'll even learn how to thank God. While they're going through what they're going through, there's a generation that's coming up behind them. There's a generation that's coming up that's going to get to go in and possess the land. There's a generation that's watching what mom and daddy's doing, is watching how they're behaving, is watching how they're acting in the wilderness. and God's training that next generation through your wilderness. For some of them, the wilderness should have got Egypt completely out of their system. But some of them were constantly wanting to turn back. When things got a little tough, they said, let's just go back. Let's just throw in the towel. Let's just give up. Let's abandon this journey. Let's go back to Egypt where the flesh pots are at. Let's go back to Egypt where the onions are at and the garlic. Let's go back to Egypt. Oh, the wilderness is tough. But let me remind you, my brother, that out there in the world, out there where it's trying to pull you back, telling you you didn't have that kind of trouble till you got in church. Let me tell you what's in the world. That's where the alligators are at that'll eat your children. That's where Pharaoh's at that'll kill your babies. Come on, I'd rather take the wilderness and what's going on there than going back to the world, than going back, come on, than going back to what I used to be. Come on, friend, it's not time to backslide. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to quit the church just because you're in a wilderness. It's time to learn what God's trying to show you. Come on, I feel something moving in this house today. God wants to reveal himself to you. Come on, let's magnify the Lord together right now. Woo! Come on, you got to learn what God's trying to teach you. You got to get a hold of it today in the midst of the wilderness. Long as you keep looking backwards, you're never going to possess what God's got for you. Long as you keep looking back over your shoulder, talking about how good it used to be, you'll never possess what God has for you. You'll forfeit your future if you keep living in yesterday. Don't ever let the wilderness turn you around today. Just hold on. Just wait. You're going to see what God's going to do. You realize they wandered, W-A-N-D-E-R. They wandered in that wilderness when they should have been wandering in that wilderness. Getting up every morning saying, I wonder how God's going to do it today. Getting up every morning instead of griping and grumbling. Getting up every morning and saying, I wonder how God's going to bless me today. I wonder how God's going to work this mess out today. I wonder how God's going to take care of this today. I'm tired, I'm weary, but God's with me. I'm going through hell backwards, but God's with me. I'm not going to get lost in the wilderness. I'm going to wander in the wilderness. I'm not going to allow it to consume me. Not going to allow it to take me under. I'm not going to let it devour me. It might get some folks. Hey, there was some folks started dropping like flies out there. But that next generation was growing up. They said it might get them, but it ain't going to get me. Mom and daddy may not have been able to get a hold of it, but I'm not going to let it keep me from getting a hold of it. There might be some folks that fall by the wayside and throw in the towel, but not me. I'm going to lay with this. I'm going to stay with this. I've got some victories I want to experience, and I serve a God that can bring me into what he's promised me. Come on. God's about to take us to another level, but we got to go through the wilderness to get there. Come on, let's magnify him in this house right now. The Holy Ghost is doing a work in somebody's spirit. Oh, Hallelujah. Nehemiah said, God gave you bread from heaven for your hunger and brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst. I don't know if you've ever considered it, but the New Testament gives further revelation of what happened in the wilderness. The Bible said there was a rock that followed them. I'm just simple, Brother Motes. I'm just simple now. But I've always pictured that in my mind as a literal rolling rock that when the cloud moved, when the glory cloud moved, that's when they were supposed to move. And I can see one of them children as they looking over there at that fountain that's coming out of that rock. And mom and daddy's putting everything together. They said, the cloud's moving. We got to go. We got to move. We're still in the wilderness, but we're going to follow the Holy Ghost. We're in the wilderness, but we're going to follow God. And I can see one of those children. Mom and daddy's getting the last everything together. They done folded the tent up, and they got the wagon moving. And I see one of them little boys. He's looking at that rock. And he's watching mama, but he looks at that rock. And about that time, the water stops flowing and the rock starts moving. And that little boy said, all right, let's go. I'm telling you, God's going to go with us through the wilderness. God's going to go with us through the trial, through the trouble. You're not going to dry up and die. You're not going to dry up and die. You're not going to go under. You're going up. You're going somewhere. There's a promised land to possess. Come on, I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost here today. You're not going to die in the wilderness. You're going to live. Somebody ought to shout today, I'm going to live. I'm going to live. Woo. My Lord, have mercy. There were wonders that thou didst among them. Some were mindful, some were not. But God continued in his manifold mercies. Nehemiah said he forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way wherein they should go. Just keep following God. He's leading you. It feels like I'm going in circles. Just keep following God, because promised land's coming. Promised land's coming. The wilderness is a training ground, but a promised land's coming. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not manna from their mouth. Gavest them water for their thirst. 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they, listen to this, lacked nothing. Don't tell me today that God's not going to see you through. Don't tell me today, listen to me, don't tell me today that God's not going to provide. You come too late to tell this preacher that God can't provide. You come too late to tell me that God don't make a way in the wilderness. You come too late to tell me that God can't make a way where there's no way. He will provide. He will provide. They lacked nothing. You look at somebody and tell them, I'm not going to lack anything. Well, you don't know. You don't need, oh, come on. You got to shake loose from that doubt. You got to shake loose from that unbelief. You got to shake loose from that Egyptian mentality. You got to shake loose from that. I'm not going to lack anything. God's going to take care of me. My. Their clothes wax not old. I'm closing. Somebody wants to come to music. Their clothes wax not old. And their feet. It's amazing to me. The lack of detail sometimes in the Bible and then the abundance of detail other places. And this is one of those where there's an abundance of detail. Somebody had enough mind to pay attention and take note of the fact that their feet weren't swelling. I know we focus on the gripers and the complainers. I know we focus on all the losers sometimes. But somebody was taking notes and said, you know what? These shoes ain't wearing out. Man, I've been wearing this for a while. It ain't even got a hole in it. We living in tents and the moths ain't even ate on it. Man, and we're out here in the blistering, hot, sunny desert. And it's just natural for your feet and ankles to swell sometimes. But the Bible said their feet did not swell. I'm talking about the most minute details God was looking into to take care of them. Why do you think it was that such a sore judgment came on those that would not learn? Because God was doing so much for them. God was feeding them. God was taking care of them. God was fighting their battles for them. And when all they could do was gripe and complain, it ain't no wonder God got aggravated. Stand with me this morning. I just want to help somebody today to not bemoan your wilderness. Don't bemoan the trouble that's come to you. Don't bemoan the hardship. Listen to me today. I'm realistic. I know what it is to complain and have to repent. I know what it is to fuss about something and have to go to God like a puppy with my head hanging down, saying, God, you ain't never failed me. You've never failed me, Lord. I don't understand everything, Lord, but you never failed me. You never let me down. Come up on something that looks so big, looks so monumental in your life, looks as though you can't overcome it. And God's brought you through so many things already. He's fed you so many times. He's blessed you so many times. Do you really think that God's going to let you go down now? I'm in the wilderness, Brother Holland. I understand. Please, today, I'm not preaching to you something that I haven't experienced today. I can preach what I'm preaching today because I've been in that wilderness. I'm glad to report to you today, God will bring you through it. God will bring you through it. There's provision there. There's strength there. There's healing there. There's healing there. Direction is given. Relationship with God is not just built there. It is solidified there. That nobody can hurt your feelings out of the church. When you've been in the wilderness long enough, you get a little hide about you. You don't get offended as easy when you've been out there fighting sandstorms. When you've been out there dodging serpents, you're not as easy to get offended. And you get solidified in your walk with God. You get so solidified that you can look at a weak brother or a weak sister, not in condescension, but in compassion, and say, God brought me through. He'll bring you through. Come on, we can make it. We can make it. We can make it through the wilderness. You don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. Listen to me. I'm closing with this. Our perfect example was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ himself, Brother Darren Motes, subjected himself to the wilderness. The Bible said the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He drove that fleshly body into the wilderness. Because God manifested in human flesh understood there's some things the flesh can only learn in a wilderness. In times of difficulty, in times of hardship. And Jesus Christ himself went into that wilderness. Even as Moses was in the wilderness 40 years, Jesus Christ, the typology there, 40 days in the wilderness, praying, fasting. Oh, hallelujah. You can't get around it today. I wish I could tell you there's a detour you can take right here and you won't have to go through it. Sorry. There's no orange detail sign that says go this way. Detour sign, go that way. You got to go through the wilderness. You got to go through it. I know it doesn't mean that he lacked power when he went in, but the Bible very specifically says that when he came out of the wilderness, he came out of the wilderness with power. I'm declaring to somebody here today, stop cursing your wilderness. Stop cursing your trouble. Stop cursing what you're dealing with and realize you're going to come out with power. You're going to come out with an endowment. You're going to come out with strength. You're going to come out with ministering spirits that are going to minister to you, that are going to uplift you. You're going to come through. Come on, does anybody want to reach out to God this morning? Does anybody want to come forward and reach out to the Lord with a realization, I'm not going around the wilderness, I'm going through it. And I'm not going to just wander around, but I'm going to get a revelation and have wonderment in the wilderness. I'm going to behold the miracles of God. I'm going to behold the provision of the Lord. I'm going to see what God can do. Come on, that's it. Reach out to him today. There's wonders in the wilderness today. Provision you can't see, it's in the wilderness. There's angelic presence there. You may not be able to detect it or see it, but the angel of the Lord standing by. The rock Christ Jesus is going to follow you.